Well, on my end, it's good afternoon, but I guess on your end, it's good morning, Vanya. How are you doing today? How are you doing, Vanya? It's so good to see you.
You too. Hi, I love your face. I see your face on my phone. I'm good. You know, we had a crazy weekend. We went camping in a tent.
Wow. I just can't imagine like camping with two small children. So you need to tell me all about it.
Well, I will tell you the first part because what I could do without is connected. It's connected to it.
All right, cool.
But I'll start by just saying, you know, we have these friends. We all are vaccinated. We're like, yay. We've actually went camping with them 7 years ago because I have a funny story about that. When my daughter was like a month old because I'm an idiot. And so first of all, I'll tell you, I think I may have mentioned this on the podcast before, but like my husband was like, I want to meet our friends. We were just dying to like be around people because we had just had the baby and we were just like wanted to get out. And our friends were like paddling on the Delaware River and they were going to stop and set up camp somewhere. And then my husband was like, well, we're going to drive and meet them. And it's like, it's car camping. You know, we park and it's right there. Well, we had brought so much stuff like for our newborn baby and our tent and everything. It was like an hour hike to the site.
Oh God.
And I was so mad. I was so very mad. And I was like sweaty and like my milk was leaking and it was just, I was just felt disgusting. And one of the people in our camp group was Michael C. Hall. So, you know, we had a famous person who actually is a friend, but like, I still felt like I wanted to look better. And I was like, just like, I was like a wet top with milk coming out, my kids screaming. I'm like, oh, I'm very excited to make this experience for all these people. I'm basically inviting everyone into the fresh hell of having a newborn.
Uh-huh.
So that's the last time I camped with these other couple that we camped with. And it was great. So we were like, we have it all set up. It's Leo Carrillo State Park, which is just north of Malibu, about 30 minutes from Malibu on the water. You can walk to the beach. How cute is that? And this time was, it's actually like real, like you park and the campsite's right there. It's like a dirt plot. You know, there's probably like, I don't know how many, like maybe 100 sites all around in this area. And you're fairly close to your neighbors, but not crazy. But, you know, my husband and I, Adam and I both like, we're like from, you know, we worked that day. And so we had to get all of our gear together and I packed the kids. Cause normally I'm like, I'm a control freak. I'm like, I got it. I got the kids. Don't worry. I got them. So we get there, everything's totally fine. We have a pop-up tent, which is one that you could just throw into the air and it pops up so you don't have to do anything.
Right.
You know, that's another annoying part of camping, right? I've got like cushy, soft, like sleeping pads. Everything's set up. It's pretty cool, right? As the sun is setting, I see a huge spider crawling on our camping, like on the net where the zipper is at the front. And I'm like, oh God, Adam. So he killed that or maybe just swatted it away. And I was like, oh, you know, I understand that there's bugs. I get it. But it still upsets me.
Yeah.
So we put the kids to bed. They're fine. I forget a very important component because my son is not potty trained at night yet. I forgot pull-ups or diapers. And so he's been really good, Mike. He's been really good. Like he's woken up with like pretty dry diapers. So I'm like, you know what? We'll just wake him up every couple hours and take him outside and pee or whatever. He full peed like 4 times that night. I don't know where he got the water. I don't know. Like I got peed on. All the blankets got peed on. Weirdly, the sleeping bags didn't get peed on, but like, and it was just, and we're all in there together. The kids are loving it because they just want to be always with us. They just want to be in a big bear pile like the Croods and sleep together, you know. So they were like loving it, but I couldn't sleep all night long because of that. Also, side note, I was researching some really dark, horrible true crime stuff, so my brain, I just didn't sleep all night long.
Uh-huh.
So that's the first part of, but we have one more night ahead of us and I'm gonna save that next night, but we got through it. I was able to hand wash like all the jammies he went through, but like there's no stores. I mean, I could have gone to Malibu, but like Malibu doesn't have like a Target, you know, it's like a fancy,
right.
You know, I can't find baby, baby clothes for under like $100 or something. So I was like, we're going to hand wash these and we're going to like, it was kind of warm the next day. So that was what happened, my last week. And it was, I just feel like, Mike, I feel like people like camping only because it's like the feeling of when it's over. You're like, oh, thank God I'm not camping anymore. I feel like that's why people camp. Or maybe that, because like when we did eventually get home, I was so relieved to be in my own bed and clean and just like, not around animals or bugs.
Yeah, I feel you. Two things. One thing, I am someone who I think... Through your experiences, I have learned that though I want to be someone who likes to camp, I just don't think I am. I don't think I get it. I think it's sort of akin to like Tina Fey when she talks about cruising in like a big boat, how like we once upon a time had to do that. Like you had to get in a big boat to cross the ocean. Like once upon a time, you maybe had to sleep out in the wild.
Yeah.
We don't have to do that anymore. We have plumbing and electricity now.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's for me. Second of all, I love the idea of a Malibu Target, and I feel like it would definitely have valet, and there would only be like four aisles, and it wouldn't be anything that you would have at like a normal Target. It would just like be really, it'd be like one thing of baby clothes that was like $125.
Yeah.
And yeah, so that's what I'm picturing for the Malibu Target that I'm gonna pitch to City Hall.
I know.
I had an interesting day yesterday because I went for like the fourth or fifth year in a row, and I didn't know if it was going to happen this year because of COVID and because movie theaters have been closed, I was able to go downtown to what I will always call the Waverly, but is now the IFC Center. And I got to watch all of the Academy Award nominated short films.
Fun.
And I did it all in one day. And I don't know if all in one day is the best way to do it, because I saw 18 short films, because it's five in each category. Yeah. And then the animated one, they always throw in like a few extra that they just think are good. So I went there and I bought tickets. It's funny because the woman who helped me at the booth, I was like, I'm trying to see everything all in one day. So I had to like look and see how long each series was, because you buy a ticket for each set. You buy a ticket for animated, you buy a ticket for live action. In the past, you had to buy two tickets for the documentaries because they can be kind of long. But this year it was all one series. So I had to like look and see the animated lasts for, well, I have it right here. The animated lasts for 99 minutes. The documentaries last for 136 minutes. The live action lasts for 130 minutes. Sort of like time my day.
Wow.
Yeah. So it actually was really, really fun. It was just fun to like, well, I wanted to say in the theater with people. I was not. There was one other person in the first theater. I was the only person in the theater for the second showing.
Wow.
And I think there were like four others for the last. Yeah, like there was no one else around. But it was really cleverly done. Like they actually, I didn't really get how it was working, because I'm a member of AMC. So when you buy a ticket online with AMC, you choose your seat and it blocks off like the seats around you.
I see.
But, you know, IFC Center doesn't use that technology. So basically, I went into the theater and realized what they've done is they've just roped off every other aisle you can't sit in. And then the aisles that you can sit in, they'll be like two seats, four seats roped off, one seat, four seats roped off, one. So you can't end up next to someone else, which is pretty smart. And they're not selling food right now, which I don't care, but I hope that they're doing okay. It's a great little theater downtown in the West Village. And also what it allowed me to do, you know, I've strayed to other neighborhoods a bit, but of course I'm not doing a ton of that.
Right.
Because I mostly just, you know, go to work or like walk around Harlem. Yeah. So it was kind of interesting to go down to the West Village, and I had sort of lengthy breaks in between the series that I was seeing. And so I would kind of like walk around and see, you know, like the restaurant that I work at used to have a location in the West Village, and to sort of walk by. And of course, it's empty now, it's closed down. And but the restaurant next to it has like taken over the entire sidewalk because there's nothing else that's down there. So like they're almost bigger than they were before.
Mm.
So it's interesting to see what is thriving and what's closed. And of course, so many storefronts have closed.
Yeah.
Which, you know, I try to look at as like potential for the future, that hopefully new stuff will go in there once the city starts opening up again. But, and I will also say, you know, the population of people who do not have homes and the number of people that seem to be suffering from some kind of mental issue, like there's so much of that right now.
Mm.
And I don't know if it's just a matter of hopefully programs coming back as the city opens up again, but
probably.
It definitely was noticeable. I got like my little taco stand thing and like sat outside and was like, oh, okay, there's a lot of activity happening around me. And I'm not a squeamish New Yorker. Like I get that I live in New York and there are a lot of things going on, but it was definitely noticeable that there is tension in the air.
Hmm.
So it was a really fun day of seeing movies, and I'm definitely going to bring up a highlight later on. I have a whole lot of things that I'm digging this week.
Great.
But it was also, you know, kind of a a dark day of kind of looking around this neighborhood that was very like thriving. And there was still a lot. Like I walked up McDougal Street, which is where all those bars are. Mm-hmm. Remember that huge Mexican restaurant that we went to a couple of times on McDougal that like went all the way through?
Uh-huh. Yes.
And that's not there anymore.
Oh, really?
Once again, hopefully, potentially. Yeah, yeah, that closed down. And so many of the restaurants have closed down. But a lot of them are still going, and a lot of the bars are still going, which I find to be a little surprising.
Right.
So, you know, it was a mix. It was a mix of really fun and kind of like, hopefully looking at potential of what will happen when the city starts to come back alive again.
I mean, I definitely believe it.
Yeah, I think so too. That was basically the highlight of my week was doing all that.
That sounds lovely.
It was really fun. It was one of those moments in which I'm so grateful to be in a place where I can do that, where I can go to a theater and see, because no one sees the short films. Like nobody watching the Academy Award, like almost nobody watching the Academy Awards is like, I care about this category. And it's fun that like, and I even for the first time ever, I got on my phone in the notes between the segments and like wrote like two or three sentences about each short film.
Yeah.
Because when you're watching 18 films in one day, like it's easy 6 months from now, I'm going to have no idea what any of them were about. But I like that I have this reference of like, here's how I felt about each of these short films. So it was fun. It was overall a fun day. I enjoyed being that opportunity.
Mike, I think like when we're old, or we doesn't have to be when we're old. It could be just, you know, anytime, I guess, when the world comes back. But my thought was that we just travel the land going to film festivals, because that's kind of the same thing. I love seeing multiple movies in one day. It's just a joy for me.
Yeah.
I love it, Mike.
Yeah, you've been to a few film festivals because you were kind of in that world.
Yeah.
I've never been to a film festival. I've always wanted to go.
Oh.
And even like there are several that happen in and around New York, and I've just never attended any of them. So
you would love it.
Yeah, it's a not terribly difficult goal to like,
I know, you would love
to
it.
Make happen. So.
And it's really fun because as the world comes festivals, back. Yeah, during film festivals, they usually have talk back. So you get to like not talk, well, maybe if you ask a question, but you get to see the director and some of the cast. I know how much you love movies and movie making, so I think that would be really fun for you to watch. So we should make that a goal. So should we start with your digging then, since you're coming off of
I was going to say, this could very easily segue right into the things that I'm digging this week, because I want to talk about...
Yeah.
All right. I have three. I'm going to keep it to three.
Okay.
But I've really been knocking out the Academy Award nominees, because we're coming up to it.
Yes,
Academy Awards this weekend. So I'm going to talk about the first one that I want to talk about is a nominee for Best Foreign Language Film. I think this year they're calling it Best International Film, but you get the idea.
Yeah.
And it's a movie called, and I'm going to say it wrong, but it's called something to the effect of Covetous Aida.
Uh-huh.
And it is a film about the 1995 genocide in Bosnia. And it is just what that sounds like it is. It is a very tough film. It is very, very intense. The lead actresses, once again, I'm going to say it wrong, but her name is Jasna Jurisic. She is unbelievably good. She is not acting. I think that she is in it. Like, she's so committed. It is not an easy film to watch. It's not super long. It is less than 2 hours long. It is on Hulu. So if you have Hulu, you can watch it for free.
I was going to ask. Okay.
Yeah. It's an easy one to find. And I, you know, gird yourself. But I think it's a movie worth seeing. And I think it's just, we're going to get to this when we get to the topic. But I think that it's just a movie that opens your eyes about the things that happen in other places in the world. And I understand there are those that say we need to focus on things happening in this country. I say there's no reason why we can't do both.
Exactly.
I say there's no reason why we can't work on the problems in this country and be aware of what's happening outside of it. So to me, a movie worth seeing to like understand the things that are happening around the world. The next one that I want to talk about is a little bit harder to find. I actually got it through my Netflix DVD account that I still have. And it's not up for Academy Awards, but it's up for several Independent Spirit Awards. And it's called Miss Juneteenth.
Oh.
And it is written and directed by Channing Godfrey Peoples. It's her first feature film. It stars Nicole Beharie, I think is how you say her name. She was one of the leads in the Sleepy Hollow TV series. She was the female lead.
Oh.
Kendrick Sampson, who is in the second season of How to Get Away with Murder, which like my friend Elise and I are the only ones who watched that entire series, but he was in the second season, so some of you might recognize him from that. He was also in Insecure, also not to objectify, but he's okay to look at.
Mm.
It's a fairly simple film about a woman and her daughter, and this woman had won this Miss Juneteenth contest and wants her daughter to compete. And it's so much of it is about the struggles between mothers and daughters, but also between expectations and what we really want out of life. Mm. And I like that it's not easy. I like that it's not, it doesn't tell you everything. Like, you get to the end of the film and there are several things that I'm like, oh, we're not ever going to find out what happened there or what that was about. Mm. But I like that it's sort of like left to you to kind of come to some of your own conclusions. It's not an easy one to find, like I said, but if you can find it, I think it's worth checking out. I thought it was a really, really lovely film.
It looks like you can rent it on Prime, Amazon Prime, for $3.99.
And I say worth it. So check it out there. The last one that I want to talk about is, for me, the standout from the short films that I saw yesterday.
All right.
And it is a short animated film. It's called If Anything Happens, I Love You. And it's written and directed by William McCormick and Michael Govier. I think I'm saying his name right. You can actually watch it on Netflix. It's a short that was produced by Netflix. You can watch it there. It is not super easy. And to not give too much away, I will say that it is a very simply animated short about parents dealing with the loss of a child. Ooh. But it's so beautifully done, and to me has such a beautiful message. And it's one of those shorts that I think can be kind of weird, where no one talks, like it's like humans, but no one like says a word. And it completely works for me. Like, I just thought it was, the emotion is there. It was one of the most fully formed and executed ideas that I saw of all the films yesterday. And there were a lot of great things that I saw yesterday, but I just thought the power of this one, and there is the moment that like took my breath away. Mm. So, easy one to find, not the easiest to watch, but you know, it is only 12 minutes long. So to me, worth checking out. So there you go. That's my very lengthy list of things that I'm digging this week.
I like that. I like that. Okay, great. So I guess I'll jump into mine. You know, this is not digging, but this is a weird thing to talk about. But and I weirdly, I'm going to preface that I am not on my period or PMSing. But the last couple days, I have just like been crying, and nothing is wrong with me. I don't think. I mean, maybe something's, I mean, there's probably something wrong with me. I'm a little, you know, crazy in the head sometimes, but like, I shouldn't say that, but you know what I mean? I am an emotional person, but I have just been like feeling things really intensely and deeply. And I mean, kids are healthy. I got a job. Things are okay. And I wonder, I feel like with everything lifting sort of with the COVID, and, you know, I have had my second shot, and these possibilities, I am feeling this like overwhelmingness. Oh, is that a word? Overwhelmingness? I don't know. Of like joy and worry and sorrow. And it's just like, it's just bubbling up, and I'm a crier. So I just wanted to start, I'm not digging it. It's not that I could do without it, but it's something that's been like happening, and I don't know why. I can't explain why I've been just like really almost, you know, when you have the throat thing where you want to cry a lot, where you feel like it's caught in your throat. That's how I feel like a lot in the last 3 days.
Yeah, I definitely don't have like the answer or even like a simple answer. I think that there are many reasons why people are feeling that right now, because I don't think that it's just you. I think that there is a certain amount of excitement and fear about the real world. I'm doing air quotes, which is great on a podcast, about the real world, like coming back, you know, and we've sort of been on this forced pause for a year now.
Yeah.
And I've definitely had that of like, we're going to go back to normal. And is that good? Was normal working? Mm. Was normal working for everybody? Was normal working for me?
Yeah.
Something about, you know, the idea of in a month being where I was 15 months ago feels, I know that on one hand it's supposed to feel hopeful and happy, and on the other hand it feels very much like lost time somehow, or very much like what did I do and where have I gotten? So I think that that's one thing behind it. I think that also we're just we're still in such a fraught world.
Yes.
I mean, I have such joy over the fact that what's-his-face didn't get reelected, and that I do think we have people in charge that are more caring, but there's still so much happening. Mm-hmm. I also think that we're all on edge about what's happening with the trial.
For sure.
And I don't even want to say his name.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that we're all a little on edge. I mean, I know what I'm hoping for, but I don't know what's going to happen. And I don't know. I don't even know what's best. And I don't mean that in like, I don't know what I think should happen or that I think that what he did is reprehensible. I don't know what's going to heal this country. Mm-hmm. I don't know what's going to make things better. And I definitely have fear over that. So I think that I think it's pretty natural. I think maybe a catharsis wouldn't be a terrible thing to maybe if you can find something that's going to help you vomit that emotion out, which is something that I know I need sometimes.
Maybe I'll watch If Anything Happens, I Love You.
It's real good. It's real good. And it's short.
That might make me cry hard.
Yeah.
No, but did. Thank you. I just wanted to mention it just because I feel it's a strange feeling and it feels that I can't place it. So it's good to talk about it. Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And it's a lot. It's the world, everything.
Yeah.
So, okay. So what I'm digging, I have two, Mike. I've got two.
Good.
And I'm going to stay with my theme of like, I'm just bringing reality TV into my world. And Mike's like the educated one.
It.
And I'm the one that's like, oh, hey, what you watching is making you feel real good. It's for me, some of it's reality TV. Okay. So the newest season, I purchased it on Prime because there's probably another place to watch it for free, but I couldn't find it. And I was exhausted after our camping trip. And I was like, mommy needs something for her. So I went on Prime and I bought the entire season in HD of season 13 of RuPaul's Drag Race. Now, have you watched this season?
Yeah, yeah. I'm all caught up.
Okay.
We were all like shut down for last season. So we kind of like all as roommates watched it together. And I don't think that's clearly not going to last forever, but we've made it work so far this season that we all been watching it as a group.
I love the show. I have watched it since my friend Daniel lived in Carroll Gardens. So that was before I had my children. So a really long time ago. It's just, you know, I am a person who, I swear to God, when I watch the show, I start doing my makeup like a little bit more and like putting hard lines in and, you know, because it is fun to just like look in a mirror. Partly why I love theater, like getting ready for a play with everybody there and you're all getting your face on, your costumes, your wigs. So that's something I love of it too. But this season, you guys, I think this season they flipped it on its head. And I think it's okay. Do you think it's okay if I reveal the difference?
Yeah, I think so.
Because I don't want to give it, you know, I don't want to do a spoiler, but like normally you have to lip sync for your life, you know, and that's sort of a sad, bittersweet moment where the, you know, drag queens have gone through all these trials and tribulations and they've got their costumes. And then the last two, the bottom two, have to lip sync to a song that they all prepared just in case they were in the last. And then it's like, you're just watching who does worse and it's sort of like a icky feeling. So they switched it to now you have to lip sync for the win. And I actually love that change because I think whoever wins the challenge is the winner of the whole thing. And so I'm only in episode 3, so I'm sure I have a lot more to go. But even still, so that was joyful. And that's, to me, part of when you go see drag. It's like you see the lip syncing and the performance and you're there to let go and release and be joyful. And so I feel like that energy is encapsulated more with like whoever wins, right? And then I think so far, I think this cast is like, you know, everybody has their shady moments, but it's all love, you know? RuPaul won the Emmy last year. So I don't know if that has anything to do with their change up in, there's another few things that are different that make it fun and sort of competitive, but I am just digging it. It's bringing me some joy. I personally think like Michelle Visage is hilarious. I love their dynamic. I love Ross Matthews, RuPaul, and Michelle, and their dynamic is so, it's like they really got a thing going. So I'm loving that. What is your take on it?
I do feel like it's been a longer season because I think that like VH1 or whoever is commissioning it was like, how many episodes can you give us? Nothing else is in production. So
well,
I think they've used
true.
It a little bit because there's been, it's funny because there's been some complaining about, and I've probably done some of the complaining too, where it does feel like we went like 5 weeks before anyone actually went home.
Oh.
But on the other hand, like it did give us a chance to like get to know who the people are and get to know the contestants. So
yeah.
I have enjoyed it.
That's maybe why I love it, because it feels so happy and joyous and...
No, it's a fun. I've enjoyed it. It's been a good season.
That's one thing that I'm digging. And then I want to mention, I've been listening. So Masterclass, it's an app. It's not a cheap one. You spend, I think it's like 100 and something a year to have Masterclass. And so it's all these lessons. You know what it is. Like, there's food, there's design, there's writing. And I'm really trying to bring forth men. So I have all these ideas and I want to write them down. So I'm listening right now to David Balducci, and his is super interesting on how he goes about writing. I also listened to Judy Blume's, which was fantastic. And all of the writers have similarities in the way they think of an idea, ruminate on the idea, research, outline, write. So I am really loving having that, because it feels like school a little bit, and I like that.
That's cool.
So I highly recommend it if you know you want to spend the money, because it's not cheap. I accidentally bought it. I didn't realize I had. So I'm it's a common theme in my life where I'm like, oh, what's this charge for? Oh, so now I'm like, I better get, you know, some use out of it.
Get your money's worth.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, that's fun. Should we continue your camping story now? Do we want to get to day two?
Oh my God, you guys. Yeah, let's get to day two. So, okay. So we wash everything. Oh my God, camping. We wash everything. Wait, where's my, oh my, I'm like, I wrote some notes down because I just was like, I have to remember this. And we're like, you know what? We're going to stay a second day. We're going to stay a second day. Even though some of the blankets got peed on, we can just use the sleeping bags. We don't have to do the blankets. And so that morning we go to the beach. My husband surfs. We plan. It was a beautiful day at the beach. And then we're like, we're going to go into Malibu, drive 30 minutes. There's a CVS there. I can buy pull-ups for my sweet little child. So we do that. We find out, actually, Mike, and I want to take you, well, not that you want to go to a place that's actually in New York as well, but they have Cafe Habana.
Oh, funny.
In Malibu as well. So we were super excited. We sat outside. It felt like normal-ish, and I had a margarita, guys. My 40 days are up, so it was tasty. I liked it a lot. And we get back to the camp. Nobody's there, but you know, there's an older couple to our left, right behind our tent. And there's people all around us, but so we're just there. And my daughter sees these gopher-like squirrels running from the area of our tent with these pastries that we had got, and we zipped them up in the tent. So I just like to title this portion the squirrel turd burglars. Yeah. So what happened is this. The older man over there was like, hey, excuse me. I was like, yeah. He's like, there's squirrels coming in and out of your tent all day. I'm like, inside my tent? He's like, I think so. I just coming in and out. They got food. Okay, so I thought that if I put the bags of like snacks and food in our tent, I was thinking more bugs, really. I wasn't thinking. There were 4 or 5 holes chewed into our tent. Yes, yes.
Oh my gosh.
And and they had eaten everything. I had pita bread. I had squash that I was going to grill. I had all the kids' snacks. Their like little juice, their little milks they drink. They fucking, excuse my language, they just chewed through all that. And they ate these pastries that my daughter was super mad about because I was like making them wait till after dinner.
No.
And so I'm just, and I was like, I honestly was in shock. I was like, what the hell? And I'm like, are we still staying tonight? We look around. There is like football, not size, but football shaped turds everywhere on our bedding, and hair, squirrel hair, Mike, everywhere. So I was just like, I was screaming outside and inside, and my kids were like, what's happening? What's happening? And I was like, we're going to have to go home. So we cleaned everything up. I mean, I still have the tent, but I'm like, do I burn the tent or can I fix? It was just the most disgusting thing. And I cannot believe that I'm an idiot and didn't know that something would like chew through our tent. So guys, keep your food in your car or whatever, you know. But yeah, this is where I really believe that like part of the thing about camping that is enjoyable is being relieved that you're not camping, because I know that doesn't happen for everyone. Or maybe I'm just, maybe I need to just like give in and glamp or get an RV. But is this what people do? Do you take a tent and just like, you know, sit in basically a huge dirt parking lot with about 100 other families? Is this camping? Like, I don't get it. And I'm missing the mark here. I mean, we stayed for dinner. We made food. We, you know, grilled, or, you know, we roasted marshmallows, which was fun. And it's nice to see the stars, but I'm with you, Mike. I'm with you. We have electricity for a reason.
Yeah.
But I'm just like in such shock. Like all of our shit, all of our food, there was like 3 bags just gone, completely gone.
It would never in a million years have occurred to me to do anything else other than what you
right?
did. Like, honestly, I would have been the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing is, you can look at the stars and then you can go to your hotel room and take a shower. So I just feel like there has to be a happy medium in there somewhere.
I know. And Adam and I, my husband and I just like scrubbed ourselves hard because we're the ones who had to clean everything up. And then I spent the entire day just like washing every single thing in hot water. And I'm like, ugh. Just like, it's beyond the dirt. It's like the feces of an animal. And then, just, you know, just feeling violated, really.
Yeah.
So gross.
That is so terrible. Well, my thing that I'm not digging isn't quite as funny as that. But so I've said this already, that there's an award show podcast that I listen to. I'm not going to say what it is. But here's the thing. I care about award season. Like, I care about who gets nominated. I do care about who wins. I also don't have a problem with like being funny or like finding a funny spin on something. I just feel like so often, what I'm a little bit over is bitchiness for bitchiness' sake.
Mm.
And the thing is, I can be bitchy.
Sure.
I can even appreciate bitchy. I can think bitchy is funny. But sometimes I listen to certain things and it feels like people are trying to outdo each other with like how over it or how, oh, well, I hated that, or, oh, I don't, everyone loves it. And I don't know. I just like, for me, like I listen to this stuff and I follow it because I care about it. Like I like these films and I like these performances, and I don't know. I just get a little irritated when sometimes I want to be like, can you take this a little bit seriously mm-hmm. for a minute? And mm-hmm. so that's all. I just kind of wanted to say that I just feel like there's this weird, and I'm going to go ahead and go here. Sometimes it's the gays. Sometimes it's the gay guys that like just want to be like funny and sassy and bitchy. And I'm just kind of like, maybe every once in a while, I don't know. You don't have to have a negative opinion about everything.
Yeah.
You can just like, this is what I liked, rather than like, blah, on things that other people might like. So
mm-hmm.
that's all. And maybe I'm taking it too seriously, but I just get irritated with that sometimes.
I understand that. I do. I think caring is cool, guys. But I also think there's this whole thing of you feel, especially in the podcasting world, by doing a couple of them and doing different hosting things, like the pressure is on to keep the jokes coming and make everything entertaining. So that could be part of it, or it could come from insecurity as well. Just like, you know, usually the mean girls are not the most confident people inside.
Well, thanks. And thank you for bringing that up, because I wanted to say, I do feel like we are a generation that watched Mean Girls and didn't get the point.
Yeah.
You know, where it's all like, we're the mean girls. And I'm like, yeah, we that's not good. Like,
no.
The point is, you're not supposed to be a mean girl.
Right.
So
I like caring, and I like being earnest. I like making jokes too. But I understand where you're coming from.
So on a very opposite side of things, I wanted to take a moment because I was so inspired yesterday watching all these short films, and in every category. But there were so many films that I saw, and once again, they're short films. No one's ever going to see them. But I was so inspired by how powerful art can be, and by how powerful it is to see experiences that aren't your experience. And I remember there was a big thing. I feel like it was Biden back in the day who made a comment about how he felt like Will and Grace had done more for gay rights than so many other things. And I think there was a little bit of like tittering about that, of like, you know, whatever. But I think that it's true. I think that in whatever form you see things that aren't you, to have to look outside of your experiences and look outside of what you think is, you know, quote unquote normal,
yeah.
I think is so powerful. So I don't know. I don't know if you had any thoughts about that or anything that you've seen that's really like moved you as far as that goes.
You know, I actually was thinking about it because you gave me the phrase, the power of art a couple days ago, and I was thinking about it a little bit differently, actually. I was thinking in terms of expressing it, of expressing pain and expressing joy. And the as an artist, I guess, the idea of like the cathartic feelings that it can bring, shining light where there's dark. And I feel like when I experience it, when I'm watching something else, I sometimes am inspired to act, inspired to open my mind to different things and feel more empathy, of course. And sometimes, you know, more pain, and but also to see the beauty in different things that I wouldn't maybe necessarily see. So I was thinking about it in two ways, of like experiencing it, but also creating it. Not saying I'm creating art, but it's like that I think every single human has a desire to express and communicate and connect with each other. So to me, it's the power is in the connection, I think, with other people. And it's my favorite thing in the world. It is my favorite thing in the world. Because it's love.
Yeah, I do think that it's true on both sides. Yeah, I do think that we as human beings, because we've talked about this before, the conscious collective and or the collective conscious, maybe I'm saying that the wrong way. But I do think that it is innate in us to want to connect with others because we are already connected with them. Yeah. We just don't necessarily always realize it or understand it.
Right. So if like fear is a separation, then connecting is love. And I think that's why art is powerful, when it's charged.
Yeah. This could be like a 3-hour conversation in and of itself. But yeah. I just wanted to like at least scratch the surface.
Yeah.
Do you have anything random for us?
Well, I wanted to search for something that had to do with camping. So apparently in some campsites, they have these already, and they're called like bear poles, and they've got like hooks way up on the top, and you're supposed to like hang your food. A story that I heard from one of my friends who I was camping with, she has a house upstate New York, and her neighbor had dog food in their car, and the bear opened the car like a sardine and got the dog food. So I'm like, I don't know if a pole's gonna save that, but yeah, you can also for those little tiny gopher squirrels or whatever they were, if I would have had some sort of a pole, I could have put my food up there. It's a hack, guys. It's a camping hack. Look it up.
I've heard of a similar thing where you're in a house with a refrigerator and a lock on the door, but that's a separate, that's a totally separate way of protecting your food. The pole definitely works as well. So my random thing that I wanted to bring up comes with a group chat that I was a part of, and I can't remember exactly where this came from, but I was talking about like being around this group of people, and they were just like, it's just a group of assholes. And my friend shot back the term a nightmare of assholes. And I don't know if this is already a thing, but I was like, you know how there's like a herd of sheep and there's like a murder of crows, which is probably somehow like anti-crow. I'm not sure where that comes from, but I love the idea of introducing into the lexicon that like a group of assholes is just a nightmare of assholes. So that's something that I'd like to work on. And I just said the A word many times, and I'm not going to bleep it because we only bleep the F word. So that's my contribution to the English language, is I would like refer to a nightmare of assholes. There you go.
Like a gaggle of, I love it.
Yeah.
Gosh, dang it, man.
So there you go.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to make that work. I'm going to try to keep that going.
It brings me joy.
Vanya, I love you so much.
I love you back.
I love our conversations.
Yes. Yes.
And I love that we can talk about anything. I love that
I do too.
Have that.
Caring is cool. Love you.
All right. So let's keep talking about everything. And I will, we'll be back next week.
Sounds good. Bye, y'all.
Goodbye. Thank you for listening to Mike and Vanya Can't Not. Episodes arrive on Thursday, so don't forget to subscribe if you want to be a part of this journey. Mike Jensen, that's me, is also the co-creator and co-host of We Couldn't Help But Wonder, A Journey Through Sex in the City, alongside Elise Castle. You can also follow him, me, at MikeJensen77. Vanya Arslanian is the co-creator and co-host of Rom Crime with Avrin and Vanya, alongside Avrin Mackey. Follow them at Rom Crime. You can follow this podcast on Instagram at Mike and Vanya Can't Not with a whole lot of underscores, and email us at MikeandVanyaCan'tNot@gmail. We're also on Twitter. Why? No one knows. But you can follow us there at Mike and Vanya. We'll be back next week. I also wanted to say they're definitely doing construction on my building. So if you're hearing a crazy noise, that is not my stomach. That is coming from... somewhere. I think they're like completely redoing the apartment above mine. So it's just like constant noise all the time, which is fun. Welcome to New York.
Yeah.